Open World EUX Level Design, a systematic approach to making scope-sized emotional roam routes. As an entertainment product, games are one of the many media forms that rely on providing users an emotional ride. In other words, to evoke designed emotion is to create a meaningful experience. With open-world games, this includes the ability to roam a large open map full of exciting discoveries. As the genre continues to grow, we see more variety and complexity in not only the landscape itself, but also the way they are navigated. Travel mechanics, replayability, etc. And so the production scope grows, as does the possibility of cluttered or meaningless space. To maintain a holistic and meaningful experience whilst not creating excessive content, I have theorized a workflow demanding close arrangement between user journey mapping, level design, and gameplay design. Two cores. No matter where you start designing your game from, you need to know the game core, the main experience of your game. Next, we determine the emotional core, consisting of emotions and feelings. Take a look at your game core, and ask you and your team, what emotions support the game core? And what feelings would strengthen the game core? In case you start off with a feeling, you must at least understand which emotions support that feeling. This will come in handy when checking or brainstorming features and game loops in the future. Both cores are determined at the very start of your project. However, if you've already established content, you can choose to extract the emotional core from what you already have, or kill some darlings. Next, context, narrative, and scenarios. Emotional experiences rarely appear without context, but even when they don't, I often feel they are less impactful nor enduring than the ones given more weight with context. For example, a feeling of jealousy. Jealousy of what? Jealousy of your former self. Or an emotion, like sadness. Sadness for what? Sadness for another's pain. Context implies what the emotion or feeling is felt for, but does not pertain to a specific setting or theme for the game yet. Something that does, however, would be a narrative. A narrative often presents more specificity to the context. Why and what causes the emotional context? Who it might pertain, protagonists, antagonists, and other characters, and the where, as in what kind of world setting it takes place in that supports all of the variables. For example, living the cowboy life in the lethal Wild West, trying to prove your innocence while most are out to get you. Now, when done right, one might change the narrative as much as they want, but the context will always be the same. Next, take possible scenarios that could take place in the chosen narrative framework. This includes story beats, its emotional build-up, and lastly, interactions befitting of the character's role in it. Make sure to keep in mind what emotional value these scenarios have in service of the narrative. An example of story beats and emotional build-ups would be the moment of crime, or the cowboy being falsely accused, running away from the law, or a risky attempt at proving innocence, etc. An example of the character's role would be bounty hunting, taming horses, horse care, countering ambushes, town shootouts, navigating through rough terrain on horseback, gun management, hunting, camping, etc. Once you and your team have decided on the context, narrative, and several scenarios, all production teams have a starting point to brainstorm content from. Gameplay design. Gameplay and level design must be designed side by side, for level design's core purpose is to support that gameplay and emotional impact and be tested repeatedly. Examine the scenarios you and your team have thought of and see if you can spot a game loop in it. Then, determine what features would be necessary to make that game loop happen. They don't always have to be gameplay-oriented, however, and it could also pertain to other user and product interactions of the whole game experience. Now that you have an idea of possible game loops, I recommend you decide or eliminate options based off of effectiveness and scope. Test them as early, realistically, and as much as you can. Use paper prototypes for gameplay, sketches or concept art for art, roleplay characters for writing, or even use the mind's eye for just about anything. Level design should focus on designing, ideally playable, layouts that support scenarios when relevant as much as possible. Do not worry about the relative locations of things in the world. Rather, figure out what formula you need to make the game space effective. Remember, when we say effectiveness, we also mean its ability to evoke our targeted emotions. Most importantly, always, always, always stick to your course. Now here's a tip. If you have a hard time determining what assets you need for your scenarios or game loops, you can let everyone in your team, especially narrative designers, write about one page with anything the player will experience in a certain part of the game experience. Describe what they see, hear, think, and do, how they would interact with the game. This makes it easier for various departments of game production to identify their unique or interdependent tasks. Overlapping scenarios and scenario segments. At this stage, the whole team should know what the core gameplay loops, scenarios, and features are. Now, we must design spaces that facilitate the scenarios and the game loops within them. Overlapping spaces. Some segments in the game loop need a dedicated game space, and while you might have tested and designed the game loop separately, the game space for its individual segments can often be combined or overlapped with another loop. Some even have several touch points. So, say for instance in our Wild West example, the animal hunting game loop requires you to sell your loot to a butcher. For the bounty hunting game loop, you must take the request from the bounty board. It makes sense for both the butcher and the bounty board to be in a bustling town, so you can facilitate both segments by placing them in them. However, while game spaces can serve different game loop segments in a utility sense, it is often overlooked how they might affect the emotional experience of that segment. Imagine your game loops to be separate little storylines with each their own acts, build-ups, and climaxes. The impacts may be significantly decreased, neutralized, or amplified depending on how you combine them. When the emotional impact of one segment clashes too much with another, you have to choose which one is to be prioritized over another, or consider placing them in different spaces. Laying the level lines. By now, you and your team might have a collection of scenarios with overlapping game spaces. And this is a great point for level designers to continue working from, as we will now focus on the world layout. Play an experiment with the combinations you have. Overlap the loops, play with different touch points, emotional combinations, scale it up and down. And now, which layout seems fun to you? Which ones feel like they make sense to the storyline? Or how about you go at random? Go with a design workflow that feels right for you. But keep in mind the size of each space and combination it requires, ideally in measurable units. This will help you to determine your workload. Also keep in mind that not everything needs to overlap. Main routes, subroutes, and emergent routes. Once you have a set layout for the most important spaces of your game, you might have noticed the highways of your map. The road that connects the most important spaces, so to speak. This can be linear, circular, branching, or sometimes even interrupted. The next and most difficult step is looking beyond it and thinking about what player experience you want. Remember at the start of this article, many design decisions were based on the emotional context? This is where you start planning that emotional ride. At what part of the ride do we need emotion A? Which scenario and its supporting spaces would complement this well? You want to plan the player route in such a way they do not only touch all of these bases, but experience a proper emotional build-up to it as well. This is a real balancing act, for emotion is not the only player journey being planned at this stage. For instance, game designers look at teaching the game to the player, relating to the introduction of new mechanics, pacing of challenges, etc. Meanwhile, narrative designers might want to introduce characters, lore, and other story variables in the player's memory. And lastly, even level designers might want to teach players what visual language the game has pertaining to navigation of the world. These plans result in a certain order in which you want your players to explore. Some become obsolete after the first time, like tutorials, and other experiences ought to be effective repeatedly, like a location where you want players to have an emotional association with. The result of this is what I call main routes. However, considering we are designing open worlds, you provide not only one, but several ways to explore the experience. Some main routes can branch off or have an alternative version that is less straightforward. They can also lead to spaces more specialized for a certain loop, without being obviously connected to the main road. These I call subroutes. Now that you have an idea of your main and subroutes, you must playtest them for their effectiveness in the aforementioned player journeys. Polish or remove elements to iterate on your designs, and last but not least, seek out emergent routes. Emergent routes are ones many players explore naturally, without it being intended as one. I find these the most interesting and useful to us level designers, as they show us where our exploration type players are naturally drawn to. Therefore, I encourage you to consider combining or reshaping previous routes. This way, we can keep that element of natural exploration and the satisfaction of having found it. Good luck!